Psalms 125. There were a lot of follow-up Bible study we're supposed to do before delving into the matters that we began to consider during the last conference. A lot of studies, support studies, but to make it easy for us to assimilate what we intended to emphasize. However, we'll do a brief Bible study. But what we are trying to achieve is that every one of us will be able to find his own uniqueness, a unique line of grace that God has bestowed upon him by his Spirit. Amen. Now, Psalms 125, verse 1. The Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abide forever. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abided forever." Now, there is a spiritual reality that we are supposed to have. There is a spiritual reality. And that's why the Bible is a book of many metaphors. The reason for the metaphors is so that we can understand the spiritual reality that we are supposed to be in God. Now, so it says that if we trust in God, in the spirit realm, you are like a rock. A rock that has two characteristics. First of all, a rock that is living. Rock that abides. And that trust in the Lord shall be as mountain. Be like a mountain. You will be immovable. And your immovability is tied to your trust in the Lord. Now, so a simile was used. Because you trust in the Lord, how you look like in the spirit is like a mountain. Do you understand that? Good. Now, we are going to try to picture that spiritual perspective that you are supposed to assume on the account of your faith in God, on the account of your trust in God. We'll try to x-ray that spiritual reality that you become when you are in sync with God. Are you there? There are trust in the Lord. There shall be as Mount Zion. We were discussing today in the Bible school class. I think the emphasis was in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Be anxious for nothing. I hope you know that sounds like a commandment. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. It's a commandment. But in everything, through prayers and supplication, make coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Now, there are a lot of things in that scripture. First of all, we have a problem. Let's say the problem is your house rent. And because of your inability to make money available for your house rent payment, you are anxious. Okay? Now, listen. That problem, which is your house rent, is not what will destroy you. What will destroy you is the anxiety. Because you are not aware that that anxiety was flamed by a spirit. Yes. And the spirit is taking advantage of this physical situation to sell a product, to make you a victim of a product, a victim of anxiety. And so, what will destroy you is not the house rent. What will destroy you is the anxiety. What the anxiety wants to do is that the anxiety wants you to accept the position of the soul with respect to the issue. Because anxiety, the platform for anxiety is your soul. Alright? So, the devil wants you to take the position of the soul concerning the matter. So he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow anxiety. the recommendation in that scripture does not deny the presence of the rent matter. But they say, in spite of the rent issue, don't allow anxiety. Because if anxiety remains, it's because you allowed it. Anxiety is different from your problem. Okay? So he said, first and foremost, put out anxiety. If you have not been able to put out anxiety, your spiritual activity is going to be adulterated. Cut anxiety off. When you have successfully done that, then make your request. So the scripture acknowledges the presence of your problem plus the presence of anxiety. Then it answers, you put anxiety out so that you be in a good frame of mind to make your request known to God. And by the time your request goes to God, God will not start by providing the rent. That's not how God starts. You are not here. The way God will start is that from heaven above, He's going to administer peace to your heart. Now, when that peace is administered from heaven to your heart, in spite of the situation, you'll be calm. So, most of the work that needs to be done is not really answering your supposed need, responding to your supposed need, is responding to your real need. And your real need is to be delivered from external influences that can put you on edge such that you do not have the basis of trusting in God anymore. And that this is the war. But it is when you trust in God that you are like a stone. You see, the devil wants to use anxieties, pressures, circumstances, situations for you to accept the position of your emotion about the matter. Because anxiety is a demonic spirit that is manipulating your emotion on a particular issue. If you take sides with that manipulation, you take sides with the anxiety, the devil will eventually destroy you. And it's the anxiety that will destroy you, not the house rent problem. All the attacks of the devil are actually orchestrated in a certain way to make you not seek the support of God, but to take a situation as it is fired up in your soul through deceiving spirits. You align with that, and your worries derive from that unstable environment created by those demonic spirits. You become a victim of deception. But the Bible says there that trust in the Lord, there shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but abideth forever. If you are going to be a weapon, there are many things we are supposed to teach before we brought the other factors. And actually, I did not want to go into those factors. But after the service, the second night, one woman sent me a text. Say, Pastor, I know there are many things you want to share with us, but you have withdrawn. Tell us more. So in response to her request, I spoke small. But that small may not benefit many people because they have not yet had basic training, basic fundamental training that will make this small to be effective. The first thing you have to learn is how to exist like Mount Zion. You must take the immortal posture of a stone, something that waves, storms, wind, tsunamis cannot change its position because its foundation is well established. Alright? Now, we're going to do little Bible study. And then you understand perfectly well what I'm talking about. God will not set out. The first thing God does is not to change your situation. The first thing He does is to change you and bring you to a point where the situation can no longer affect you. He makes you like Mount Zion. That's what He does. Makes you like a stone. As long as the situation still has authority to to disturb you, to affect your mood, to affect you are not yet victorious. And God will never crown a man that has not yet found victory. It is from that disposition, that scripture, that I said that if you have not won on the inside, you cannot win on the outside. There must be victory within before there's victory without. I don't allow anything to encroach upon my victory inside. For me, anything that troubles me inside makes me vulnerable, makes me exposed to attacks. Long as I have a settled heart, in the midst of the storm, I know there's a way. But the devil won't want to allow you to be strong in the spirit, because he knows that you cause so much trouble. You understand his deceptions and all of that. He won't allow you to get there. So he'll be choking you with anxieties, choking you with pressures. And many of us will leap out of our spirit and accept the testimony of pressures and remain there. We're a victim of storms, victim of attacks, and then high blood pressure begins to set in. Meanwhile, God is waiting for you to accept his own perspective. So he said, first and foremost, kill the anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. When you have done that, then you'll be able to make your request. And the first thing that God does is that he floods your heart with peace, so that the circumstances cannot control you, cannot influence you, doesn't have any authority over your life. Okay? And then you can now, later, there will be changes in the natural. But before the changes in the natural came, there was a change in you. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let me give you an example. I was staying, during my youth service, I was staying with an uncle in the city of Kano. And that uncle was working with the police then. So my family felt that since I was going to serve in Kano, it's a good idea for me to stay with him, because there was so much religious turbulence in the city of Kano at that time. And it came to pass after that my posting came out. I was posted to Nasarawa local government. And that my uncle, the police barrack he works is in Nasarawa local government. So it became almost obvious that what my family people wanted was that I should stay with him. Against my will, reluctantly, I stayed with him. I'm a lone ranger. I like staying on my own, doing my own stuff. But if I should go that way, my people will say I'm just impossible. So I decided to yield, stay with him. I was offered accommodation, very good accommodation, in a very good place, close to where I work. There's a big market there. I would have been able to sort myself out in my own little way. But I had to stay with him. So I was given a room that had no netting. You know, when you want to keep the insects away, you put nets. But if you find yourself in a place where there are no nets, it's as if you are sleeping in the forest. So there were no nets on the room that I was to stay. We just had curtains without nettings. And that place was a place for anthropoda. Hallelujah. Now, so I was there. I made the place look fine. But I didn't have enough money to fix the net, to take away all my allowance. And I used most of the allowance for my transport to the place where I do my primary assignment. So I had to leave without nets and trust God to help me with the malaria side of the equation. Now, and that was the room that I began to pray. Because I noticed that when I come back from work, I go to the mountain, I pray from 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I pray to 9 o'clock. That was how I was doing. Then 9 o'clock, I come back to the room. And mosquitoes everywhere by 9 o'clock. In the midst of the mosquitoes, I just sleep. When I have small money, I buy. That was when Motin came out. Motin. So I buy Motin and flip the place. And in 45 minutes' time, the place is full of mosquitoes again. So it was a waste of time. But in that room, I don't know why I was not falling sick every week. I was healthy. I was alive. But the mosquitoes were having their way, but I was okay. Then I began to pray in that room. I began to press in that. It was in that room that I started having the first set of my encounters with God. There are things I can't see on the pulpit. It's scary. Scary encounters that I had from heaven. That's when I knew how filthy I was. Then I had to be begging God. If you ever see that light, you will be careful the way you treat human beings. If you ever see that light. And all those encounters were happening in that room. I stayed in the presence of God for long hours. Not because I didn't have what to do. I was detained. Now, there's this small child in that house. Grace. So, my uncle's wife was not happy that I was staying there. So what he does is that she will now tell Grace, go and tell him that he should go and look for his house. So Grace will come. So Grace will come to and say, is this your house? Go to your house now. Why are you still here, sir? If you're, we don't want you. Grace was 3 years old then, so Grace, so you know that Grace was actually a mailing system. She was a post office used to transmit mails. So she kept doing that. So there are two options. Either for you to come into a rage and kill that child, which was a very good option for me. Because those days I used to be a very angry man. And if I focus on that child, if she doesn't go, it will be very little for her to go. And it will be a very good option for me. Hallelujah. Those days, I don't forgive her. I fight. I will fight you for 10 years. But you see, in the midst of the encounters I was having, when I was seeing that light, I now knew that those my ways were actually not an option. And that was the first set of times that I'll have to give up. I died. But you know what? The devil was trying to cut me off from the encounters by allowing me to feel that what Grace was doing was important to respond. But the Bible says, be anxious for. You see, it's the way of living stones. It is a way of living stones never to allow what is orchestrated from the environment to have so much authority to control you, to determine your response. And so if I'm going to be anxious for nothing, I will have to trivialize what Grace is doing. It's external. It has nothing to do with my calling. It has nothing to do with my purpose. God began to teach me the things that are relevant. He said anything that has no direct correlation with your calling and purpose is a distraction. It's a distraction. So I had to begin to learn how to define things. They did that until I became used. And when the lady is going, she will leave the door open. So I now, what I did was that when I'm praying, because you guys need to know how the house is. This is the sitting room, all right? That room is this way. So if you are in the sitting room, you can be seeing me. But their own room is, you will cross one door before you go to where their room is. So the thing is, no need to close the door again. Leave the door open. So that when the grace comes, you won't have, what even pains me is the house. So, don't leave. And I kept praying. Then a time came and I discovered that I cannot concentrate in prayer in that house again. So what I did was that I decided to be staying longer on the mountain. That's when I would stay from 4 to 11. By the time I come, Grace has slept. So the post office has been closed. The workers have gone home. No mails can move at that time. I began to move like that. 11 in the night. 12 midnight. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost descends and you lose all sense of time, by the time you recover yourself, it's 2 a.m. in the morning. I've seen the forest. I've seen the forest enough not to be afraid of the danger of the forest. I've seen it enough. Hallelujah. So that was one of the first lessons that God taught me. How to be anxious for nothing. How to trivialize. What's the worst case scenario? If you can't pay your rent, you'll be thrown out. Abi, worst case, will you die? And then you can't sleep. You wake up in the night because you... No. That waking up in the night is not the rent that is doing it. There's a demon spirit of torment that you have allowed to creep into your life on the account of that seemingly useless situation that is now your problem
and you think it's the rent, but it's the spirit that is killing you, is tormenting you. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. What's the basis of anxiety that is coming to you right now? Because the devil always looks for a way. Sometimes it's marriage, sometimes it's money, sometimes he always finds a reason to stick around. But the Bible says, dead that trust in the Lord, there shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but abided forever. Now let's open up the exposition a little more. John chapter 1, quickly. John chapter 1. Let's open it up a little more. Now, don't forget what the Holy Spirit is doing. That scripture, that's why I need to pray for all of us. You know, when I see the Bible, it's always in 3D, three dimension. Hallelujah. God is telling us how we look like immortally, how we look like spiritually when we trust in the Lord. Right? Say, we are like Mount Zion. Don't forget that. Okay, let's go. John chapter 1. In order for you to become mighty, to become strong, you must learn how to ignore those situations that the devil uses as an accompaniment to traffic things like anxiety, to traffic things like depression. I've seen, I wanted to do something. There was no money. I worried in the morning, worried. And the time I wanted to do the thing, the money still came and I did the thing. So and I wonder, I said, all this worry, what was it for? It was wasted. So I said, okay, I think we can decide against worry. What are you worrying about currently? Some of you need to travel. We need to buy a bus, a coastal bus, and just travel to Adamawa State. We will climb the mountains a little. You see people that don't wear clothes. Not far. They are our neighbors here. They don't wear clothes. They are just naked, just like that. They're not far from me. Then you will now ask yourself, do you really, what are you worrying about? Because those guys, a lot of them, they are contempt. Now, we must understand how to tackle the saving spirits. I'm not recommending their lifestyle anyway. But I'm just saying, even on that at that level, they have guys that are not worrying. And even if you think that God has not been visiting you, not been helping you, by the time you get there, you find out that your own case, may the Lord give you understanding. So worry is false. Worry is pseudo. Worry is just, it's a pastime for carnal men. Worry is a way to enthrone the devil, to make him have authority over your life, to begin to manipulate you through your thoughts, and to discredit the great monarch of Zion. If you are going to go far, you will learn how to deal with what? Anxiety. There are sometimes I have need for many millions. Is there? The need is there. Millions. Sometimes 25 million. And I'll come to service and want, because me and the devil knows me, that me, I don't use his tools. So that's what I need, 25 million. All right? He can't sell worry to me. Then I come to church and I see somebody will now come, try to add drama for me. God, he needs 5,000. Now, you see, I can't even tell the person my own case because they believe I don't have anything that bothers me. You know what? It's not as if I don't have something that if I want to worry, I'll have a worry of a lifetime and give some to my son. But I have decided, I have found out how to live without anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. I met some of the lecturers that felt I was too proud those days, and they were bent on failing me so that I would be humble. At the end of the day, when they did their best, it did not affect my outcome. So I met them. And I still saw one, that the car he was driving that time is still relevant to him now. All the things that I know that I worried about, I just went back to trace. And I saw that those things, none of them was directly connected to my purpose. It was a waste of resources. A waste of time. waste of time that I would have invested in prayer or something productive. Spiritual people don't have time for worry. Let's move. John chapter 1. Are you there? John chapter 1 verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak followed him. And followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first find that his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now, please, I'm going on a journey. And this scripture is going to link me to my journey. But I need to be sure that you understood the introduction that I raised now. It said, "Thou art Simon. But in the days to come, you will be called Cephas," which is interpreted a stone. Do you still remember where I'm coming from? "There that trust in the Lord, there shall be as Mount Zion." That's going to be your immortal configuration, your immortal status. You have the status of a stone. Things can come and beat on you, but it will not change your disposition because of the fact that you are established in God. You have found security in God. You have learned how to draw your essence from God. And if God be with you, it no longer matters to you who is against you. That's the kind of life that you begin to live just because you are so rooted in God and you trust in God. Did you get that? That's the first point. And if it is true that you really trust God that way, the proof of it will be revealed in how you deal with anxiety. Sometimes when God wants to really help you, if he wants to help you to overcome anxiety, he just shows you a vision. Shows you a vision of the future. And then he leaves you with the responsibility of believing it or not. Do you need this thing? It's helping you. All right. It's a distraction. That's how anxiety is. You can do without it. Now, listen, stay with me. Now, so Andrew went and called his brother Simon and took him to Jesus. And when he took Simon to Jesus, Jesus, by word of knowledge, said, "You are Simon, but you shall be called Cephas," which is interpreted what? His stone. Don't forget where we are coming from. Now you are Simon. I hope you know what Simon is. The meaning of Simon is a weed. Now, when last did you visit River Benue, the banks of the river? Long ago. Try it out, and leave your cocoon and just go and see the work of nature. See, sometimes you conquer anxiety when you leave your cocoon. Stroll out. Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, any biological science student here? Botany? Oh, no, you are a chemist. There are several plants that you can only find at the bank of the seashore. You can't find them on mainland. Simon is one of those herbs. One of those herbs that you find at the bank of the seashore. And because it is at the bank of the seashore, it has developed elasticity. Because the waves of the sea will toss it to and fro. So when you hear of a man that is called Simon, it's a man that you and him can agree today that, okay, we'll go somewhere. By tomorrow, he has changed his mind because the waves have touched him. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Your name, you are Simon now, but you shall be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. I will not leave you at Simon. You are too flexible. Your elastic limit is such that nothing concrete can be built around you because tomorrow the waves will change your disposition. What I want out of you is a stone, not a herb." And so God wants to move you from a herb and he wants to move you to a stone. Meanwhile, I hope you understand that the statement that Jesus made here is actually a process. Now you are Simon, but in the days to come, you shall be called Cephas, the stone. Is that clear? Now, so from this point, we're going to see the process that it took in order for that guy to become Cephas. All right? Cephas is a process. Because most of you, even though you are ordained, God's will for you is that you should be a stone, but you are still Simon now. Because when circumstances come, you just, situations, surrender to all of that. Some of us left that level. We left that realm. Hallelujah. Left that realm many, many years ago. You are Simon now, but you will be called what? Cephas in the days to come. And so there is a working of God on your life, moving you from that flexible person that circumstances and situations can manipulate, that anxiety can imprison, that the pressures of this life can corrupt. He's trying to move you from that place, because nothing concrete can be built on such an unreliable platform. God will have to move you from that weed, and he will move you into a stone before building can take place. Are you with me? I don't have time because I'm watching your clock. That's why I cannot successfully be a pastor. Because when I come on Sunday morning and we start talking, if I still realize you are there by 5:30 evening, we might still need to continue talking. So, and most of you won't come. Meanwhile, when we see the scope of things that we need to cover, it's always a burden when time is a measurement of. Maybe that's why when we get to heaven, the first thing that will be taken away is time. We can continue our stories. And the stories will just flow like that. Hallelujah. So you are called Simon now. But you shall be called Cephas. Okay? Now, let's go to the book of Matthew 16, where he was conferred the name Simon formally. Was conferred the name Simon formally. Then we are going to Cephas formally. Then we'll see what is in the context, in the environment of the conferring of that name. And then you will now see what God's purpose actually is and why God wants stones. He wants stones. He will not make do with Simons. He will not make do with weeds. He will not make do with things that circumstances can affect. He will not make do with things that situations can affect. Because if you are such a person, the Bible says that an unstable man, a man that is unsettled, a man that is unstable, that his instability affects all his ways. And let such a man never think that he can get anything from God. And so God is against the Simon disposition. There are elaborate disciplines in the spirit that God will have to subject his people to in order for them to transform rapidly from Simon to Cephas. He needs stones, not weeds. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, we see the environment in which the conference of that name, that identity, was given. And then we'll now understand the process, the many processes that this young man had to go through in order for him to end the reality of that which was already his ordination. It was his destiny. It was his ordination. It was part of what God had ordained concerning him. It was revealed through Jesus when he encountered him the first time. But even though it was his destiny and ordination, it took so much time before he arrived at that point and became exactly what God wanted him to be. Now, the fact that God has ordained you to be something doesn't mean you ever become it. But you can start becoming what God has ordained you to be when you have transited from weed to stone. See, weed to what? Stone. And don't forget where we are coming from. There that trust in the Lord, there shall be as Mount Zion, stone. When a man's definition a man's roots, a man's reference, a man's foundation cannot but be traced to a reference that is superior to himself. When a man has found God to be his source, and if you want to undo the man, you have to undo his source first. And that's impossible. He takes on an immortal disposition, a disposition of a stone. So in the midst of darkness, that man will not lose his identity. There is nothing darkness can do that will move that man, because he has found his source in God. And that's where he stands. You might manipulate the environment, manipulate the government, manipulate the way people feel about him, but he is secure in God. And all the external manipulations doesn't amount to anything that concerns him one bit. Such a man has transformed from Simon. He is now a stone. That's the reason why we teach people to hear God for themselves. Because I've seen elders before that came to me and said that if I do this thing, I should consider that they were insulted. And if I go like this, I will not come back. I went because I knew God had spoken to me. I don't trust them. I trust God. In my own wilderness, it was only God that was there. Those elders were not there. And now they are coming to give prescription for life. If you know so well, why didn't you prescribe for your son? You let your son, let your daughters, they are kangaroos everywhere. They need this, your counsel. If it is true, you have it. No. I know when to rebel against a human. Because even the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Honor them where? In the Lord. There's a description. There's a way it is. Because those your father and mother didn't create you. I didn't create you. God spoke to me. Nobody believed me. But I knew what spoke. And I went back. And 10 years later, everybody repented. Everybody repented. There was some point that he looked as if I was a rebel. But you know what? I had found what they call trust in the Lord. It took time for it to be proven. Many people waited long for disaster to strike so that they could say, we said it. And you know what? Some even waited and died waiting. Some in the council of waiting people died in the process of waiting. And by the time I returned from the wilderness, I returned with power. Now I'm provoking you with faith, so that nobody will think that just in case, because you don't have support from anybody that is alive upon the face of the earth, that makes you disadvantaged. Find the Lord. Find him. And I can tell you story after story how God brought deliverance to me. My father was not a poor man. No. Yes, he was a very rich man. But when he died, I suffered. They forgot me. Everybody forgot me. They don't know how I paid my fees. They don't know how I survived from the time he died to the time I finished. So I started getting used to God, that I would pray to him, trust him. He said, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. It's okay. Then I saw him take me through the storm. So I now trusted him. When I now knew how to live now, I now knew how to survive, I had a support that I could lean on. Then the elder showed up. Say, you will go like this. I said, No, I will not. It's okay. Consider. I've heard all those kind of stuff. Some people waited and died on the bench of waiting. Hallelujah. But you see, there shall be. They never knew that some men are transformed from Simon and they become Kepha. Don't fight a Kepha. You can fight. If you find Simon fighting, you will win. But when a man is transformed and he becomes Kephas, don't fight him. He has found his foundation, his reference. He draws his strength from a place that is so distant that you cannot destroy him, because his reference was never created. Had no man. No man left. The people that would have helped me, those guys that manipulate people in families, went there before I arrived and they spoiled the whole air. By the time I showed up, I knew I was late. So I had to look for my stronghold. And I found the Lord. My uncle, You know, when he's sending us to school, he gathers us like this. His brother-in-law, the brother of his wife, he gave him 30K. When was that? I'm talking about the 90s. Gave that guy 30K in the 90s. Gave me 400 naira in the 90s. And the transport. What's that pack in? How many of you know that pack? Nyanya pack. Nyanya. The real Nyanya pack. And that real one. From that point to Makodi those days was 400 naira. Was 300 naira. He gave me 400. So if I reach here, I will now have what? 100 naira. What of the money I used to transport to Ugo? So it was a loss. So when you know what? If they dropped me 2 a.m., I had to enter a strange vehicle. You are not here. When I entered that vehicle, they dropped me on the bridge. They say your money finished on top bridge. that my money had been reading like a meter. They dropped me on the bridge 2 a.m. It was there I knelt down, vowed that I will never look for that uncle again. That if God, if you are there, somebody has donated himself to die. I have donated myself to die. But if you are there, save this man. Save this man. And I checked from that place to BSC second gate. I saw armed robbers robbing one house as I was I was in transit. They were operating. They saw me. It was my presence that delivered that house from the armed robbers. Because they thought, I don't know what they saw. But I was just speaking in tongues and confessing that I will never go back. That journey from the bridge to my hostel room was my transition from Simon to Kepha. I never crossed that bridge again until I graduated. And you know what happened? That my uncle, they sent message last week that they don't have any food to eat in the house. Some may trust in chariots. I've not had this time. We are still doing women conference. If we finish women conference and I'm my eyes clear, then we'll look for how to send them tubers of yam for survival. But you know what? I found something. May you become Kepha. The Simons of our day are too many. They have flooded the church with Simons. Jesus said, you are Simon, but in the days to come, you will be called Cephas. Anytime I drive across that bridge, when we bought that Jeep, God gave us some breakthrough, we bought that Jeep, and I was driving past that point, I knelt down and covenanted. When I pass there, I speak to that place. I've come again. I speak to that spot. I'm waiting to be a particular age, then I will take you to that place. I want to reach that age. Because I was there at 20 to do that thing I did. There's an age I will reach. Then I will take you there and say, this place, I vowed. Hallelujah. Simon died there. And the man that rose from there vowed never to trust any other thing but Jehovah. And I wore the garment of a stone. He said, you today, you are Simon. The devil will always come if you are Simon. If he knows one thing from whence to plug you to anxiety, he will never rest. He likes it. He wants to see you where you cry. I say, oh. You need to see the demons. What they are asking. But they hate stones. Because when they do the things they do, the stones, they hate. I vow. From that point to the next 10 years, I never stepped in that house. It's last year or so, that my uncle saw my son. You know what? But the war was over. Where the weapons came from that turned the tide of the battle is still unknown. They that trust in the Lord, they shall be like what? I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I had no man in the world, in this world, no man. You even have brethren around you. The brethren I had around you, I was their pastor. I was the one that prophesied to them. I was the one that shouted on them, step into faith. I was their covering. I was that voice that spoke strength to them when they were weak. Because they know the name of my father, they thought that my own condition was better. But I lived by faith. What you are afraid to do, I have done it. And I came back alive. And when I came back, the people that refused to journey with me, they found shelter under my hand. I never knew I would grow to a point where I become a shelter. But it started when I decided that I will no more be Simon. My name will be Cephas, a stone. All right. Now, let's do Matthew. Now, as we pray today, die to Simon. Die to Simon. That one that the waves can play with and you are dancing. The wave or the water. When it's coming, you'll be dancing. Die to that man. Die to him. When rain is falling, you'll be there like this for 4 hours. It's the wave that determines your orientation. Matthew chapter 16. Even in ministry, came to start ministry. People just came, the guys that used to know me, that are pastors now, they sent people to me. And said, me, I claim that I can come to my country and start ministry without telling them and succeed. That I failed already. Some that were more compassionate said, why are you not doing church? That means you don't have member and there's no tithe. So you have failed. That was the encouragement that they sent to me. But you know what? Before I came here, I had that. That rock had grown. It had horn. I had discovered that men lie. So I can't trust. I knew the one that was not a man that could never lie. I knew what God spoke to me. Jesus himself came to my room that day. He came to my room. I'm not saying I heard something. I'm saying Jesus showed up. He left you. He came to me. He came to me to tell me about the mission to Benue State. That would be is the gateway to the nations. That he has a covenant with the nations with that soil called Benue. When I go there, that's where I will jump from and I will appear in the nations. There's a secret horde of warriors that will rise from that territory. It doesn't matter what the name of your father is. There's a covenant that is stronger than the altars that your ancestors served. And that covenant is what we have come to start the engine of that covenant. Sons, people without names, they will rise and, oh my, leave it. He came to me. I know what I saw before I came down here. If we could choose where to preach, I wouldn't have chosen here. If I could make choices, they had already made arrangement for a Canadian lady for me to marry, to be a pastor in Canada. I told them that while I prayed on the mountains of Kano, God showed me a lady. She's not fair. So, those ones too were angry because I didn't want to follow the template that they offered. But at that time, I had known I was what? Cephas. Even the best people that want to, it's as if they want to help you, but they want to help you in the flesh. That help in the flesh is poison. It's like kissing a serpent. The venom will turn your head in the days to come. They had all kinds of plans. So that when I come back and I speak English, but I will still be Simon. Because the foundation upon which I stood was of the flesh. Anytime the devil gets tired and then he's resting and it's your case, he wants to come, he knows where to touch. And then you'll be Simon. Simon, the deliverer of. May the Lord deliver us from Simon. Has any human being ever told you that you will suffer? We leave you. See, you know what? When they are leaving, give them soft drink. And then when you have finished sending them forth, turn your face to the wall and say, like I stood on the bridge, make a covenant. 10 years down the road, you will look back and you will discover you actually did not need the help of those people. Who is he that speaketh a thing? And it cometh to pass
when the Lord has not spoken it, who is he? I saw the mighty fair. My uncle had so much money that he employed a native doctor in his house. He was paying him 1 million naira a month. When he gave me 400 naira to come back to school. The native doctor coiled his hair, Jerry Coil. Have you seen native doctor with Jerry? My God. He had tight jeans. He was, you don't understand what's happening. God will help us. That time where RAV4 was not common. The native doctor was driving RAV4. Coming to my uncle's house with guests. And they still believed he was a native doctor. He had star in the fridge. In fact, that freezer part of the fridge belonged to the native doctor. And it was filled with what? With star. Oh. When he finishes his star, in the morning, he will invoke spirits from China. Invoke from here. Invoke and come and dazzle my uncle with signs and wonders. 1 million a month. That's the same man that cannot feed now. And the boy, he drove out, not knowing whether he will have money to go back to where he came from. That boy is the one he's sending message to. Who told you that the devil is not in control? Who told you? I had no man. Forget about the name of your father. Forget about it. It's a snare. And let us go in search of the God of Jacob. Because from him, kings will rise. I know what he told me when I was in camp. I know what it was saying in that house that he spoke to me. That house. Now when I look back, I see all those things that happened, all those, it was not part of the purpose. So if I had given heed to all those distractions coming, I would have been a fool. I had to be an undercover preacher for 10 years. Undercover preacher. It was it's cable satellite that exposed me. And then Boniface went and put my message on YouTube. That's what exposed me. I told them to remove those messages and put new ones. They have not heard. Their ear is dumb. If not, I wanted to be in the caves. Just like John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. I didn't plan anything. I didn't want to be known. I just wanted to be faithful. And God said, it is not your destiny for you to hide in the cave. It's not your destiny. Your heart to be small is good, but it is wrong because it is not your what? Destiny. You were meant for the stars. Come out of hiding. The first day I traveled abroad when I was right there in United Arab Emirates and in my bedroom like this, Jesus came again. He said, if I told you this thing in Nigeria, you would not believe. And he downloaded a lot of secrets. There that trust in the Lord, there shall be what? At Mamza. Have you seen a native doctor? A native doctor with Jerry Coy? Well, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I don't want to press further. Because if I press further and I tell you some things, you will know, you will have an idea of the person I'm talking about. Because some of you will know. Matthew 16. I've seen people that had confidence in their beauty failed them. Some others had confidence in their intellect. How that they were scholastic people, he failed them. I've seen people that had confidence in the family name. The father, he died and there was no blood in his veins when his corpse was recovered. I've seen sinking sands that people have deposited their lives, have drawn courage from. It all failed. When will you wake up and know that there's no future with Simon? You today are Simon, but you will be called what? Cephas. Those days, my father almost worshipped his car. So I now said, I will never learn driving with your car. And some of us, Baba helped us. Huh? Because when I talk like that, those days, I will obey it. Baba has helped. I don't know. Today I'm so weak. I'm weak. I'm not. Jesus has walked, actually. Jesus. Huh? He walked here. Jesus walked here. I told him, this, I will learn with my own. And true to it, even when he had died, they called us to learn. I said it long time that I will not learn with what? Because that time, I had found the rock that time. So I felt it was baseless to exalt a vehicle like this. And just because I'm not part of the exaltation, I won't write this one. Never write this one. There were things I said, he wondered. But you know what? He lived long enough to see them come to pass. I was not speaking from the flesh. I had met the fountain of life. I had met that fountain. He was good enough to take me through the storm. You know, all my life is battle. To even marry, 5 years of courtship. Then I said, I'm not Yoruba. Nothing came to me, chief. Every ground I put my feet, I fought for it. At the age of 21, they sent madness to me. Right there, sent madness. We cut it off, and the messenger died 3 days later. The one that was sent as an errand that possessed the owl that came to bring the madness. I cut that owl. That man died 3 days later. The circumstances were the worst. The devil has no good side. All the days you spend as Simon are days of vulnerability, days of exposure. When will you let the anxiety go? Let it go. Let it go. There are many people that didn't even live up to your age. They died. You are here. Is it because God showed you goodwill that you are still alive now that you can now have the luxury of anxiety? Let it go. Are you competing with anybody? The Bible said they that compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Because if you start comparing yourself with somebody, that's the basis for anxiety. I'm not comparing myself with any preacher. What I'm called to do is clear. Jesus came to talk to me about this calling. It's very clear. Not something about competition, what's the size of the congregation. It doesn't matter what title you have. When you finish preaching, if I stand there, and it's an assurance, it's a promise. If I stand there, they may not remember you. Because me, I know the source of my own calling. I don't know how people receive their calling, but I know the source of my own. And when I begin to call that source to back what I'm doing up, you will know that my calling did not come from man. I found that fountain. And those days, we were brethren in the school of the discipleship. And the teacher did everything possible to make sure that none of us had confidence in God. Say, you are proud. No, you know what he called pride? Because I heard God and I told him this is what God said. And when he came and said no, I said, Kai, I know him. He said, Kai. This one. You know what? Years later, the teacher came and said, he was actually jealous. When Baba helped him, who is concerned about jealousy? We moved on. It was not an issue. That you are jealous or not, it didn't solve any problem. Me, I know the one that spoke to me. Your jealousy is not part of... Your name was not mentioned when he appeared. So you can't be a problem to me. That you don't believe what I said. How is it a fight? I'll just keep quiet and say, 5 years later, it came to pass. And because he could not run away from the village, he couldn't run away from the place, we will still meet. He had to repent. I said, Kai, you know what? That time, I was jealous. At least he even had the courage. But even if he didn't come, it won't bother me. You know what? Because I found the fountain. I found it. And when I found it, and they saw that the charm did not work, the demons they sent to make me mad did not work. All the things did not work. Then many people that were among them started sending their children. Go and learn from that man. Go. Learn from him. That one knows the way. All of these ones you are seeing here, they are in our hand. I broke free from the chain, the ring that the devil constructed to ensure that everybody will be enslaved in it. They that trust in the law, there shall be what? As man shall. So it's too late now for me to be afraid of man. We went for a training. They gave me 280,000 for my expenditure. They say flight ticket, 50,000, 25 from Gombe to Abuja, from Abuja to Port Harcourt and back. All right. At the end of the day, going, I spent 46,000 something. Coming, I spent 43,000 something. So I now submitted the receipt, submitted everything. Then I said, okay, you had 13,000 in excess. I said, yes, that's true. It's evident from my receipts. They said, no. Come and carry the receipts. Go back. Adjust them. Let it be 50-50. So according to what they gave you so that you can go with the 13,000. I said, auditor, some of us can't. We can't do it. So how do we pay back? He says it's an elaborate process. I say I like hard things. I like hard things. So we went through the rigor, everything we paid back. And then now, you know, is this TSA? It's very difficult. So the thing now generated the receipt, sent it to my mail. I sent it to him and he attached. Why will I go through all that trouble when it's very easy to take the 13,000 and send you some? Why will I go through all of that? Because you know what? I know where my source is. My prosperity is not on stolen government money. Is it at this age now that I'll, after these years of working with God, I know him. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, we now see the scenario. When Jesus began to ask the disciples, who do men say that I am? The debate was strange, was strong. All kinds of answers began to fly around. He now decided to lower and to conceal the scope of the questionnaire. And he said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? It was when then that Peter spoke up. And he said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Peter had secured a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was in when he secured that revelation that Jesus said, this one was not a product of flesh and blood. This is a product or an impute from the Father. It means you have found access to hear the whispers of the Father on the strength of this which you have declared. You will be called Kephas. Now, that was his destiny, his destined name, his destined status. But he never arrived that status until he secured a revelation about Jesus. What transforms a man? Is what? An encounter. And his name became Kephas from that day. You will be called Kephas. But that day, Jesus said, thou art Kephas. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are you still with me? Are you still following my story? Hallelujah. It is because he was addressed as Kephas that in the book of 1 Peter, can we move to 1 Peter? 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. I found out that if a pastor, a preacher, if he has not encountered God, he will become the limitation of his congregation. When somebody is beginning to have an encounter with God and he knows the person, the encounters he's having is sweeter than what he is experiencing. He will want to distract that person. I've seen pastors like that plenty. A lot of them try to do that to me too. But you know what? Over and above what they knew, because maybe if I go somewhere and the spirit of prophecy comes upon me and I begin to prophesy and the news gets to them, they will now say, They will look for a sermon to preach to counteract what I did. I saw all of that and I knew what it was. I knew that it was flesh and there was no need to talk because my time was not yet. If you take off like a tornado, God will not support you because you did not pass the test of time. Oh my, everything is designed to make you to move according to stimulus. The stimulus of the devil. Hallelujah. Not the promptings of God. We waited. Hallelujah. He said, thou art
favor. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First Peter, quickly. First Peter chapter 1. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, where we read, in the next 15 minutes I'll stop talking. But I just wanted to build the support system for what we are expecting through the life of women, for which we sent out a summon from the Lord. Amen? In the book of Matthew chapter 16, where we were about to look upon before the Holy Spirit overtook us. However, you are enjoined to go and search those scriptures at your own convenient time at home. Okay? The environment of that particular scripture and the emphasis that the Holy Spirit brought was that God wanted to build. Right? He wanted to build. So, he now say, Kepha, Simon, you are Peter. See? And upon this rock, Petra, the revelation of Jesus, I will build my church. That church, I build with stone, not with blocks. You, as a stone that has been processed, you have been transformed from Simon to stone. You can now be part of the building. You get it? Oh, you are not seeing. Jesus wants to build. The church is a building. I will build my church. The foundation upon which the church will be built is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But he builds with stone. And Peter was the first identified stone that came into that structure. It was because of those encounters and those things that Jesus told Peter that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, are you there? That Peter could make. Then Peter now saw the broad picture, the big picture. And he said in verse 5 that he also. Why also? Because he was the first stone. He also. That the philosophy of stones did not start and end with me. I have discovered from the Lord that what God is doing is that ye, all of us, are destined, ordained by God to become lively stones that are part of this spiritual house. So you must become a stone before you can be part of the building. Because you cannot be built into that structure as Simon. No place for weeds. Only places for what? For stone. You say, ye are lively stones. You know? In Psalms, we said that our trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that abided forever. That shall not be moved. But what? Abided forever. He now came with insight in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. He now said that we are not just stones, but we are living stones. Living stones. We have life. The stone has life. And in that state that we are forged to become part of a spiritual building, which is intended to be habitation for the Holy Spirit, and which becomes a holy priesthood. It's a building of what? Of stones. People that have been processed. People that have gone through the process. And they have learned that their only source is God. And they can live free of anxiety. Free of the pressures of this world. Free of the deceitfulness of riches. They are stuck with God. With his faithfulness. With his ever-abiding reality. That's where their life draws its reference from. And so for them, we can say comfortably that the devil is not in control. Are you following the progression? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He builds with stones. He builds with stones. The devil will only leave you when he knows he can do nothing about you. But if his tricks are still walking around your life, he will camp. He will camp there. He will exploit you on the account of the fact that you are becoming impatient with God concerning a particular miracle, a particular thing. If there's impatience and there's anxiety that you have allowed into your soul and that is there like a flood trying to manipulate you and all of that,
He has business, unfinished business in your life, and he will keep coming. Even when you're on the sick bed, the pressure, blood pressure has gone high, and you are trying to manage it, he will keep coming. The anxiety will not let you go because you are near death. At the end of the day, it is not the problem that killed you. It's the anxiety that killed you. And the anxiety, it was not forced on you. You accepted it. Because you can do without it. And that's why he commanded us. And said, be anxious. For nothing. I'm praying today that we'll die to Simon. And that stones will be born in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus. Alright, this building that Jesus is engaged in, hallelujah, it's a building of lively stones, buildings that abide forever, buildings forged through numerous stones gathered to erect a holy priesthood. So that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let me show you a snapshot before we start praying. Just a snapshot. A little snapshot. Because if you are part of God's building, are you with me? I want to show you this, a snapshot of the finished building. The finished building is our destiny as a corporate priesthood. Right? Because his building. When the building finishes, I want to show you how it will look like. And then from that finished building, I want to identify you in that building. Can we do that? No, it's too technical. Let me cut down the scope of our work. Because I don't want you to get lost in the revelation. But it can now become sweet. Then you forget what I'm trying to say. You forget that. It is only when you have been exercised and your day of coronation has come and you are declared a stone that you can now fully find your fitting, the placement, because there are many living stones on the building. And these living stones are of different types. Alright? So we will not know the type of stone you are except you have gone through the process that produces you a stone. Then that's when we cannot know where you will fit into. There are a lot of stones. We have carbuncle. We have emerald. We have onyx. We have jasper. We have all kinds of stones on that building. Living stones. Living stones. And you will not know where you fit into in that building except you are able to see your own stone version that has come as a result of the transformation from Simon to Kepha. We don't know your stone version. And your true spiritual abilities are locked on your stone version. I was supposed to do this teaching before I did the other one. Your abilities are locked on what? Your stone version. I am jasper. I've seen it. Jasper. Jasper. That's the column. Right? Where they use jasper to build on the building, that's where I am. And I will show you in a moment. And if you doubt that I'm jasper, I will show you what jasper does here today. We can recall it. You know, the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not in word. Your nature is your capacities in your stone version. But you see, if we don't have stones here, if what we have here are men like Simon, then there's no building coming from our end. Because no raw material has been produced here. There are many ministries that are not giving up raw materials for the building. Many ministries. Meanwhile, that building is eternal. That's why I have to quote that scripture. That liveth and abideth forever. That building is eternal. And just in case you... No. Let's not go there. We'll get lost. Alright. So, I need to show you some... That building. Can we go to the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 10? Then let's start. That's our destiny. The building is our destiny. That's the end point, that which Jesus wants to construct, of which we are supposed to be a part of. Amen. Revelation 21 21, verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out from heaven. Now let's begin to get this city. Hey. Are you here? You are not. God started this process with a garden, but he ends with a city. The devil started as a serpent, he will end as a dragon. You start as Simon, but you end as Kephas. Now, I don't know whether you will reach your end. Let me tell you again, God started with what? A garden. He ends with a city. Satan started with a serpent. He ends as a dragon. You start as Simon, and you end as Kephas. Alright. This city has 17 characteristics. This city is a corporate destiny as the people of God. This city is not a literal city. It's a living city. Have you heard Jesus' words when he says, "Ye are the light of the world"? Have you heard that? Ye are a city. Ye are what? A city that is set upon an hill that cannot be hid. It's a living city, not a literal city. You are built into that city. God, the builder, is the subject here. And he builds with lively stones. That will be the tabernacle that will trap God for eternity. And God will be able to express himself without limitation in that city. Oh my, I don't have time to talk about the city, but I have enough time to tell you that the city has 17 characteristics. And the first one is what you are stumbling upon now. I've used the best words I could find to make it self-explanatory. Hallelujah. All right, let's go with the reading. Quickly, as I try to round up. Let's go with the reading. Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The first characteristic of the city is that it's a holy Jerusalem. That's holy. One, holy. What's the meaning of holy? Separate. The word holy means different, means separate. So the city is not another city. The city is a different city. Why is it different? Because it is separate. It is built and established only to serve God's purposes. Is separated unto God. And you too must be built and raised only to serve God's purpose. There are many purposes that Satan can put you to. Many purposes. Many agendas that Satan can put you to. We called for counseling this morning and a young lady came and I looked at her and I began to tell her my story. I said, I married at 31. I never knew a woman before I married. She almost fell from the seat. Why is she falling down? Because she doesn't understand that. And you know, she's in church too. She doesn't understand that the city is built only for God's purpose. A man that is separated unto God is not available to be applied, to be given a definition, a role by the devil. That city is a holy Jerusalem. So in your walk with God, what God wants to achieve is that he will make you lose confidence in every other thing until you come to a point where you are wholly aligned to him. You are only ready to receive help from him. If you have not reached that point, you are still Simon. It means you can have many gods. Hey. It is only when you become totally aligned to him. It has dawned on you that this is the only fountain that can give you suck. And it's unto his spring that you wait for refreshing perpetually. That anything outside of his policy statement is not something you can risk to be part of. Because you were designed exclusively to be a vessel unto him. What it means to be holy is to be separated unto one.
Eh? Why do you think we take vows when we come to the altar to marry? Forsaking all others. There are a lot of damsels in the city. You didn't notice that? Okay, but you have to become holy unto one. Huh? Yes, unto one. That, to be devoted to something is not a character that the flesh is how it likes. To be loyal to something, to be covenanted to something, the flesh doesn't like such a disposition. But you see, this city is not another city, it's a different city. And the city is called the Holy Jerusalem. It's when you have worked with God for long, you will know that holiness, eh? One of the benefits of holiness, you will come to discover, is that it is costly to be a sinner. Especially, is what? I hope you know our shop is in, what they call that place? OG, what? Winner. It's a shop by day and a beer garden by night. Have you seen the place, the look of the place in the night? Doesn't look like what it looks like in the morning time. I've heard people aloud say, oh boy, I did debt for about 200,000. He's in debt for about 200,000 and he's incurring more debt with staff. It's costly to be a sinner. May the Lord give you understanding. You have to be separate unto him. Become a creature that only receives relevance from the function and the purpose that he has decided to put you to. Because it's a holy Jerusalem. The second characteristic of the city is that the city has the glory of God. Oh my. Riakoma sila kote mai gabatami. The city has what? It has the glory of God. What exactly is the glory of God? Don't miss it. The glory of God talks about the Spirit of God. Don't ever miss it. That's what the glory of God is. It's the Spirit of God. So inside of your vessel, when the first thing God gave you when you gave your life to Christ was that he released a measure of his Spirit to tabernacle with you, to become part and parcel of your Spirit. You don't get it. It's a miracle. That's what we call the mingled spirit in theology. For the Bible says that they that are joined unto God, they are one spirit with him. It's just like when you mix Coke and Fanta. It's no longer Coke, it's no longer Fanta. Maybe Coke and Fanta. But it's something different entirely that results. That's what happened in your spirit. The glory of God is mingled with your spirit. And God is expecting that all of what your life will ever become will emanate from that miracle of the mingled spirit that he put inside of you. That whereas the devil operates from outside, God operates from inside. He knows the intensity of his spirit that he will quicken into you, that will make you so drugged that that thing that the devil wants you to see, you will not notice it. A man that is still, is he aware of what the devil is doing, is not drunk. Not, his roots are not in the glory of God that is in him. That's not where his roots are. He has found, maybe his roots are in the flesh or in his intellect or in other things. But if you find the glory of God, that foundation, if that's where your life comes from, if that's where your bearing comes from, if that's where you take your dressing from, you take your strength from, is that where you draw your wisdom from? Oh, there are very few things at some point that will be strong enough to put you out of course. Very few things. I remember when we started working with the government, and I saw how easy it was for managerial staff to be manipulated. These ladies, we had, oh my God, some kind of lady. Yeah, you need to see how they work. And they were doing all, friending all those managers and all of that, and they were giving them positions. So I was working in Benue here. The lady that was overseeing our work was one of the girlfriends of the Oga. She would just call you and say, we have not seen your data. Meanwhile, in Makoti then, there was no internet. And the data analyzer is an internet-based software.
How can you access a software that is internet based without internet? And they know all these things, but she'll be calling. So anytime I'm in a cafe now, if the internet comes on and is better, I will head up for the analyzer, impute the day's data, and send it. And I used to fear hard like God. So one day I now decided to go and pray about the situation. I said, God, see, this lady normally harasses me. Then God asked me a question. Who gave you this job? And I now thought, I was in the youth service. In that same room, when Jesus passed, he told me, you will not go into full-time ministry now. I will give you a job. Oh, so I remembered. It was God that gave me the job. You know why I forgot? Because I was a victim of anxiety. You will forget what God told you when you yield to anxiety. And they will rubbish you. So when Anan realized that it was God that gave me the job, the next day she called and said, I should go to Lafia and go to all the filling stations in Lafia and check the prices of the products. I said, all right, that's good. But I'm waiting for Hilux, fully armed with a couple of policemen, 8 policemen for my security. You know, even though you may not like me, I have a family, and my wife will worry if I'm hot. And for our own interests, for our own purposes, I need to keep myself safe. And I need some money for the hotel. I found out we have Tal Hotel in... She cut the line. Until today, she never called me again. Oh, so I was just fooling myself, being afraid for nothing. It is when you hear the perspective that comes from the glory, you now know that you are actually running in the shadows after lying vanities. The city has the glory of God. I don't have time to do this glory thing. If I finish, some of you won't sit down here. When you won't know when you will trek to North Bank. Oh, Jesus. The city has what? The glory of God. Finally, before we begin to pray, because I'm out of time. City having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone. So the stone side has come up. The first stone mentioned is what? Jasper. That stone is me. Go back and study all the stones in this city. We have organic and inorganic stones for the chemist. That one I said is the chemist will understand that. The light of the city. There's no bulb. The light, what? Is what? Of the city is... Huh? Okay. Can you go back to verse 11 again? Having the glory of God. And what? Unto a stone most precious, even like unto jasper. That's her light. That's her light. What, like unto a stone most precious, even jasper? That's one of the stones. What is jasper? Because if I had time, I would have shown you what onyx was, what carbuncle was, what sapphire was. What is when you have transited from Simon to become an immortal stone, that you will now be able to trace your identity with those stones written there. It is with those stones that he builds. And Peter just discovered he was one of them. And guess what? When Goliath began to brag in the land, it was a stone that brought him down. Oh. That image of Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of the vision, the Bible says there was a stone that was cut. It was not cut by human hand. The thing hit the image and it brought him down. It's a war of stones. The last battle will be decided by stones. If a stone is manufactured in your family, that is what will break the akombo, the altar. They'll say they don't know where the stone came from. It's a stone that was not carved out by a human hand. They that trust in the Lord, they shall be like what? Like I don't have time. You see, I have a burden. My burden is I can't finish a sermon. Today I made up my mind from home I will finish. But you see, the city has the glory of God. Even when you make up your mind that you will finish, when the glory of God begins to manifest its own, you will now discover that you are actually too small to decide the outcome of the matter. The city has what? The glory of God.
Okay, let me show you my jasper. Small. Revelation chapter 4. I show you small jasper there. And then you can study. Make sure you end up as a stone. Make sure. All this. I went to church in Abuja and I was coming out of church. I was coming out of it to go to the pastor's office that invited me to come. Two ushers were standing close to the door. What were they saying? Eee! One said, eee! See my face. So much oil. Kai, my beauty has been touched. That was... Chief Donatus. That was Simon. I'm not saying don't keep your beauty. I'm not saying don't look fine. But if it matters to you that much, it means you have confidence in it. That maybe by it, something will happen. You have never been there. You don't know the world you are. Men don't survive by that. So wake up. Please help me tell your neighbor, wake up. Especially if your neighbor is female. Make sure the message is passed across. You wake up. It's your man, wake up. Mimi, wake up. Wake up. Meanwhile, I was coming from the cave then. I didn't notice them. I didn't. It was, Kai, may you find, Baba will help you. Revelations, as we closed, Revelation chapter 4. And after this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, no time. The appearance of God. That city. Eh? When you the light of it, it has a light. When you see the light of it, it is jasper stone. It's the stone that carries the appearance of God. There are people that you encounter. But the effect of the encounter is not the effect that a man can have on you. That man was just a vessel that carried the appearance of God. Those are the jasper people. I will rest my case here tonight on that matter. But if by any means we have more time, it's the onyx stone that I want to show you. And I hope you know we have few jasper stones available. Probably fewer onyx stones available. We are tired of you as Simon. What we want is Cephas. Let's pray tonight. They that trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion. I shall not be moved. They shall be like Mount Zion. Shall not be moved. Can you reaffirm your trust in the Lord right here before His throne and reaffirm your trust in Him? Your trust in Him. I will not waver to the left or to the right. I believe that you are able, that you are able. I cast all my cares upon you. I cast all my cares upon you. You indeed are able. You indeed are able. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. It is not by power. It is not by might.
I believe that you are able. You are able in the name of Jesus. I believe that you are able. I repent for doubting you. I repent for doubting you. I repent for yielding to anxiety, for yielding to worry. All these days, the devil has stolen so much from my life because of my anxiety. My anxiety was a choice. Was a choice I made to accept the lies of the devil, to disbelieve your omnipotence and your omniscience. Lord, tonight I repent for doubting. I repent for yielding. I repent for subscribing to anxiety, to worry, to the pressures all around me. I look away from the situation and I look unto you. I look away from the circumstance and I look unto you. I ask, O God, that you strengthen me with might in the spirit, in my inner man. And that even tonight, O God, you will give me the ability to be steadfast, to look away from the things that the devil is giving. I am a stone. I am a lively stone. A living stone. A living stone. The waves of the sea cannot change my orientation. I am fastened on the foundation of the glory of God. From thence I draw my essence. The glory of God is my reference. That which cannot defeat God cannot defeat me, because I stand on the rock that cannot be moved. With men these things might be impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Silamantoke Mahala. Make a commitment to him right now. We are tired of Simons, men by the wind's seashore, that are tossed to and fro by the waves. We seek men that are stones, firmly established in the counsel of God, firmly established in the leadings of the Lord. Men that situations cannot move, men that are only moved by the word of God. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. Reaffirm your commitment right now. It doesn't matter how many legions of witches stand together to oppose your destiny. How many people reject you and say you will amount to nothing. It doesn't matter how many people are outrightly against your life. Oh my God. Because he lives, I will live also. My life is dependent on him. My life is based on him. My life derives from him. Because he lives, I will live also. I don't know who cursed you, who spoke that it will not be well with you. It is a man. If it's a man that said it, it is inconsequential. Because the Bible says, who is he that speaketh and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not approved it? I know a rock of ages. There is no rock like him, and there is no one besides him. He doesn't have a deputy. He's God all by himself. When he speaketh a word, it's coming to pass. His counsel is here. His counsel is amen. Let all men be lies, but let God be true. Kombasile kelamanda, paite kombarata, manda la papore masiku. The Lord will hold you in the hand, and he will guide you. He will guide you with his eyes. Sieto mantelimanda, do not accept the lies of the devil. Do not believe that your miracle will not come. Do not think that the devil will conclude the story of your life.
the ancient of days. He is interested in you. He is interested in you.
Maybe your grandfather died in a certain way. Your father died in a certain way. And the symptoms that you will go that same way is beginning to find expression. We do not worship circumstances. We do not worship situations. We do not worship patterns. We worship God. And God is not a man that he should lie. He is not the son of man that he should repent. It doesn't matter how many men have died. You will not be an addition in the number. Something new will break out from your life. You will no more be called Simon. That pit where the devil has kept you, God is drawing you up right now. The Lord is your strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. They looked unto him. They looked unto him and were radiant. They were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto him. They were radiant. They were radiant. God will send you help from Zion. He will send you help from Zion. Amen. He will not abandon you. He will not leave you in the midst of the journey. He's trustworthy. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's the one that can perform everything that he says. Your case will not be an exception. He's a mighty, mighty God. A mighty, mighty God. Elebo, elebo, elemala, mala, mala, senamona. It's a mighty God. It's a mighty God. Cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of the world. Sila bonde, sila barana, sila zelekeda, askem preste kapota, amande la sikapate koske, samande la brata maroko sata, aikabara neskoba, eskomprete kalabonda samala kaba. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God.
mighty God. He's a mighty God. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. It's 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 a mighty God. Silebo, Simelo, Baba, Benete, la Macombalena. It's a mighty God. It's a mighty God. It's a mighty God, oh, oh, mighty, 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 mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. It's a mighty God.
At the pool of Bethesda, Jesus comes finding the man 38 years impotent in his feet, afflicted above all else. And he said to him something he has not heard for 38 years of his life. Will thou be made whole? And he said, I have no man. Friends, listen. That's a good place to start. You will never accept Jesus as your rock until you have no man. Just in case you are here tonight and there's no man, no man. You can't see any help within sight. The master is asking a question here. Will thou be made whole? I don't know how quick Jesus' question was related to the response of the man. Jesus said, will you be made whole? And suddenly he cried out, I have no man. Is that your trouble that you have no man? You have put your confidence in men. You felt if there was a man by your side, maybe the circumstances will be different. As long as you look from without for salvation, you will dwell in a dry place. Him that is within you beckons on you. Will thou be made whole? Turn your gaze from men and look upon the Lord of glory that is seeking to bring intervention. Our prayer tonight is, Lord, help me to turn my gaze. You are looking through the window, looking through the roadside, expecting salvation to come from without. But right there within you, he is asking, will thou be made whole? He's a mighty God. Sometimes if God wants to help you, he begins to make the people around you to be all, to become unreliable, unreliable. Suddenly men begin to lie to you. You just discover that you cannot depend upon them.
Meanwhile, there's someone extending his hands and crying out, will thou be made whole? 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 Sieko mantala papa, akapa senakunda, elombre santo mandali, kapase no ke malata, eko mantai sekento borosa na te kante malatambo, ali dosama, ali kaparata, merosa kapai ta kompre, leko basito, moroske tamarato mandali ma. Ascendo combatta la babote, in camastanda favoria, a gebo sakema, in caprasche tombe rakabata lebo. Sia le mombara sokema,
it's a mighty God,
mighty God, mighty God. It's a mighty, mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. It's the ancient of the dead. The rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. It's a mighty God. Mighty God is a mighty God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Mighty God, mighty God, a mighty God. The God of all the nations of the earth. Oh, 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 you are mighty God. Is dependable, reliable, oh God. It's a mighty God. Mighty, 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 a mighty God. The beginning, the ending, oh, a mighty God. Abonex a la boda. It's a mighty God. Cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. If God has said a thing, he will bring a counsel to pass. There is no shadow of turning in him. There is no shadow of turning. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. Can you take the hand of somebody close to you and begin to pray? He will not be weak in faith. She will not be weak in faith. But she will be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Anything that is eroding your faith, I banish it. I banish the anxiety. I banish the confusion. I banish the worry that has overwhelmed you, that is seeking to becloud you. Let the hand of God descend upon you. Something great is going to come out of your life. There will be a testimony. There will be a change. There will be a manifestation of the things that God has promised you. Blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance of the things that God has spoken. Oh yes, you are coming out of your struggle, coming out of your reproach, coming out of of the prison now. God has made a proclamation. A proclamation. A proclamation. A proclamation. A proclamation has gone forth. You are a mighty God. Your story will be written again. It will be written in gold. Them that laughed at you, they will come to celebrate you. Something will happen. God will change your soul. So vele do boko basadaba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory to His name.
The scripture says, say to them, thou art of a fearful heart. The Lord cometh.
He will come and save you. Them that fear. Them that are afraid. He says, say to them, the Lord come. He will come and save you.
Final prayer point tonight is, God, come and save us. Come and save us. Come and intervene. Come and turn circumstances around. Come and turn situations around. Many times our heart breaks. We are in danger of fear. Come and bring salvation. Come. Come and save us. Sebora nana masaki. Malam toze le kaparata. Imbroskabe. The Lord cometh. For your sake He will come. For your prayers He will come. For your expectation and great faith. He will come, He will come, He will come, and He will not tarry, He will not tarry. Yes, yes, where there seems to be no way, where there seems to be no way, where there seems to be no way, no way around the situation, God will make a way, God will make a way, God will make a way.
Mighty God.
Yes,
He will make a way. He will make a way. He will bring salvation. He will bring about a change. He will bring about a change. Koverena san, mandara babori. Glory, 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 glory to Your name.
And always tell yourself, I'm not destitute. I'm not disadvantaged. I'm not. Not disadvantaged. not afraid of what man can do unto me. Be rooted, be grounded. Let all the symptoms of Simon burn out. Let your immortal shape as a stone begin to emerge. Let the beauty of your type begin to find expression. Let the fragrance that comes from your own altar begin to let your faith rewrite your story. Let your faith rewrite your story. Let your true story emerge. Some may trust in chariots, others in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Glory, glory. And I need to tell you here, it doesn't matter how long. The Bible says, and he dreamed another dream. Don't allow the devil put to death a dream that he did not give you. You can recover it. You can, not with God. The Bible says there is mercy, and with him there is plenty of redemption. He keeps redeeming. He keeps redeeming the things that your faithlessness let go on. He revives it again. With him, there is plenteous redemption. No man in Christ has a right to believe that something that God has ordained will be cut short. The Satan has not, he doesn't have such power. Don't overestimate the devil. Don't overestimate Satan. I went somewhere, they wrote a book in honor of the devil. The prayer points in the book, a large volume, and all was about the devil. I never came back there. Because those guys don't know Christ. They know the devil. They know the kind of spirit that is responsible for Hamatan, the one that is responsible for Pandemia, the one that is responsible for ceiling fan. And I knew that they were in a long wilderness journey. Oh my God. My contract was with Jesus. I don't need to know the name of a demon. The one that is Asmodee, Apollyon. Oh, Jesus, I saw them in a mood and I said, oh, I don't belong here. My pilgrimage journey does not pass through this place. It's not on record. Hallelujah. Many years later, the people are still in the circle of that prayer and the prayers have not been answered. We have found God. You will find God. And by your faith, your story will be written afresh. The story that will be written will not include all the disadvantages you had, all the people that were not there to push you forward, to celebrate you, to encourage you. All of that will not be part of your new story. Your new story will be thus. The hand of God showed up somehow. I don't know where it came from. But you see, all I am today, I am by the grace of God. A new story will be written. A story that doesn't reveal any form of disadvantage. The man said, I have no man. It suggests disadvantage. But when your story is written down, there will be no clue that there was any form of disadvantage. It doesn't matter how old you are, your age, it doesn't matter. But we are going to have miracles here. Miracles. Signs and wonders. God will bypass the norm, bypass the tradition, bypass the custom, bypass the trend, bypass the pattern, bypass the circle, so that he can make a statement for all that care to hear. The Lord be exalted forever. In Jesus. Just in case you want to say your own travail began when your father died. My father died too. Hallelujah. And when you appear in heaven and see how many people that their father died that still fulfill destiny, you'll be ashamed. Are you? Okay. But you say, okay, Pastor, but I'm suffering. Faith doesn't make it easy. It makes it possible. I cannot guarantee that it will be easy. But I assure you it will be possible. It will come to pass. It will come to what? To pass. When a prophet prophesies, he doesn't tell you what you will go through. He tells you where you will come out from. He says it will come. What? It will be hard, but it will come to pass. Things will militate against it, but what? It will come to pass. And when you have known the way of warfare, you will now begin to know what to trust. What is always constant. What you can always draw from. The promises of men are fake. They fail you.
when you need it to come to intervene the most. And then you begin to draw your strength from the right fountain. You will find out that indeed God is true. Your story will be written again. I remember Pastor Hughes. He was the 100th level. I came to preach in the meeting and I saw him. I say, Hughes, you are not ready. What God wants to do with you, you are not ready. You see, remember that day? I said, you are not ready. He went through the wilderness of Baca. But when he came out, his story has been written again. And there's no form of insufficiency that is attached to that story. It's a living record. His father said, okay, now that you are going, you like going, don't come back again. And he thought that was an excuse for God to take possession. So even right now, his father cannot glory about what he has become. The man cried, said, I have no man. That's a good place to start. But there's no man. He will write. For as many as are hearing me tonight that believe what I'm saying, he will write your story afresh. The one that can afford the luxury of unbelief tonight, I wish you well. You will tell our story in the days to come. How that we mounted up with wings like eagles. We began to run and we were not weary. We walked and we never fainted. May the hand of God dwell with you perpetually. May his name turn the tide of your life. May everyone ordained to be a prince be given a staff, and may he ride on horseback. The anomaly under the sun that makes a servant ride on horseback and makes a prince to walk on foot, that anomaly, we correct it in the name of Jesus. Let princes begin to find their strategic places in the kingdom. The day of the influence of manipulating powers and witchcraft forces that took what was not ordained, what was not given, those days in your life are over. I proclaim a new day that is full of the glory of the living God. Your name will be written afresh. God bless you in Jesus' name.